Matthew chapter 5, and our text for this evening is the third of the Beatitudes found in verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Reading over the Beatitudes, it becomes abundantly clear that each beatitude applies only to those who have been given a new nature. The Apostle Paul explains this in Ephesians 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, in the opening verses, and you hath he quickened, are made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. That's the old nature. According to the prince of the power of the air. Of course, that's the devil. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's what we once were. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, children of wrath, even as others. Verse 4, but, this denotes a change, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. We have received a new nature. Paul talked about what we were in time past. We know that Paul also said that any man that is in Christ, he's a new creature or a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And we can see that the Beatitudes are for those who have received this new nature, or as we have already pointed out, is for those who are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Being citizens of the kingdom of heaven, as Paul said in Philippians, our conversation is in heaven, or our citizenship is in heaven. And since our citizenship is in heaven, and while we dwell upon earth, we are to behave upon earth like citizens of heaven. Because the old things of the old nature have passed away. We received a new nature raised to life in Jesus Christ. The natural man, that is the unsaved, whose soul has never been regenerated by the Spirit of God, has no interest in the things that Christ spoke about here relating to the Beatitudes. Because there is nothing in the Beatitudes that the natural man finds appealing. What does the natural man find appealing or attractive about being poor in spirit? That is against the ways of the old nature. The old nature that we lived and behaved and followed the prince of the power of the air, we would not have anything to do with being poor in spirit or about being meek. The natural depraved nature has nothing that would cause it to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And what child of the world would be would find anything appealing about being merciful or striving to be pure in heart. We know that today the natural man, as the Lord said regarding the days of Noah, that his thoughts of his heart are only evil continually. So the natural man with a depraved nature, a totally depraved nature, has no interest in striving after purity of heart. He needs to receive a new nature. For the one who is at war with God, whose soul is enmity with God, would not be interested in being a peacemaker. And who and what man of the world would tolerate being persecuted for righteousness' sake? Would not happen. And who could endure being reviled when people have been shot dead because of the way they happen to look at somebody, and a gun is pulled out and a life is taken because somebody disrespected them just by a look? And so we can see then, when the Lord said, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you," that can only apply to the people of God. That can only apply to the citizens of heaven. The Beatitudes are only for those who, through the grace of God and the blood of Christ, have received a new nature and who have their conversation in heaven. So these words are for the saved. You're saved tonight, then the Lord is speaking to us. And he says to us this evening, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." We are a blessed people. And the Lord says the meek are blessed. Again, thinking of what Paul said to the Ephesian church, remember, we are citizens of heaven and we're blessed. And Paul said in Ephesians 1 verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And so the blessings that we will enjoy in heaven, because when we get to heaven, we'll be as meek as Christ when we get to heaven. And we'll be blessed. I want us to notice, first of all, the beauty of meekness. There's something very beautiful about this Christian virtue, meekness. Consider the meaning of meekness. The meaning of meekness displays a wonderful beauty. You look at what meekness means. You see meekness in the life of a fellow believer, then you behold something most beautiful and lovely. And you will say of that individual, that meek Christian, you'll say, "That's a lovely Christian. That person's a lovely believer." The word meek itself means to be easy, to be mild. To be easy or to be mild. In other words, someone who's meek is easy to get along with. Maybe you have met over the course of your life individuals and you've said of them, that man would start a row in an empty house. You just could not get along with them. Everything you do, they'll do the opposite. Everything you say, they'll say the opposite. But a person who is meek is easy to get along with. Not only does the word mean easy, it also means mild. And you think of someone who's mild-mannered. You love to be in the presence of such an individual who's easy to get along with, who's mild-mannered, in other words, who's meek. The meek are those who quietly submit themselves to the Lord and to His Word, and will even submit themselves to His chastening rod. Will not rise up against the Lord when He's chastening them, but will meekly accept the chastening rod of the Lord. They will comply with His demands, His directions, His designs. And Paul tells us how the meek will conduct themselves while in the company of their fellow man. You'll be able to spot the meek man. Titus 3 verse 2 tells us to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, listen, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Titus 3 and 2. Something lovely about that, is there not? There we see the beauty of meekness. The meek will bear provocation. They'll not be inflamed by it, for no one was more provoked than our dear, loving Savior. 1 Peter 2, verse 23 declares, and he would know, he was there, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. The way of the world is somebody wrongs somebody else, and the first thing they say is, well, I'll get my own back on that fellow. Did you hear what he said to me? The next time I see him, I'll tell him a thing or two. The Lord Jesus was reviled, but he reviled not again. He was meek. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. 1 Peter 2, verse 23. That's the way of the meek. The Lord was meek. Solomon said, soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Proverbs 15, verse 1. That word soft, a soft answer, turneth away wrath. The word soft means tender. And this is the language of the meek. And the Lord said, blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who give a soft answer, because a soft answer turneth away wrath. Blessed is that man who, when he's reviled, will revile not again. Blessed is that man who is easy to get along with. Blessed is that man who is mild-mannered. Blessed are the meek. Let us strive for that meekness. that the Lord tells us about here. Matthew Henry, the great Bible commentator, puts it this way: the meek are rarely and hardly provoked, but quickly and easily pacified. And who would rather forgive 20 injuries than revenge one? I thought that was a lovely statement. Who would rather forgive 20 injuries than revenge one? That's the way of the meek and the mild-mannered person. As well as the meaning of meekness, let us also consider the marks of meekness. What are the marks of meekness? How may we recognize the meek? Apostle Paul was greatly desirous that the saints in Ephesus would bear the marks of meekness. Let's go again to Ephesians. We go to Ephesians chapter 4 this time. And in Ephesians 4, Paul says in the opening three verses, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, or I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Listen, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. With all lowliness, remember, he used the word, I beseech you, I plead with you, that with all meekness, long lowliness and meekness and long suffering, forbearing one another in love. So that's the mark of meekness. When you see someone like the person Paul there describes, you can say, indeed, that is a meek man, mild-mannered. That man will be easy to get along with. Notice again what Paul said. He wanted the saints to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. In other words, he was exhorting them to walk according to their calling in Christ. This is what is expected of those who are in Christ and are citizens of the heavenly kingdom, to walk worthy of our calling in Christ. We're to be like Christ. It would not be expected to see the ungodly bearing the marks of all lowliness and meekness with long suffering and forbearing one another in love. But that's what is expected of the child of God. That's what is expected of the Christian. That's what is expected of those who have received a new nature. If we have received a new nature, then we cannot go on living as we did in the old nature. Oh, it's still there. The new nature battles with the old nature, vice versa. But we are to live as those who have been called into Christ, having received a new nature by the Spirit of God. And what did Paul say in Galatians, in chapter 5? Paul says, envying, murders, verse 21, chapter 5, envying, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We're talking about those who are citizens of the kingdom of God. What will they be like? How should they live? How should they behave? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. It's the fruit of the Spirit. So if we have the Spirit, if we've been regenerated by the Spirit of God, and we're the temple of the Spirit of God, and the temple of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God is living, dwelling within us. And this is how we are to live, because this is the fruit, not the fruits, but the fruit of the Spirit. That's how we are to live. Of all the Old Testament saints, one man stood above all the rest. He was known for his meekness. Numbers 12, verse 3, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. That is quite a testimony. The man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Notice the way the Lord puts it, the man Moses. He was just a man. But he was the meekest man on all the earth. Which tells us we are just men and women. But we can be meek as well. It's not something beyond our reach. It's not something beyond us. Since the fruit of the Spirit includes meekness, and we have the Spirit, then we ought to be meek, just like Moses. And it was a man who bore the marks of meekness whom God chose to be the leader of his people Israel. That goes completely against the world and what the world believes. The world does not believe that a meek man can get on in this world. We all know that it's a cutthroat business in the world today. Every man for himself. You'll never get anywhere if you let others walk over you. You'll never get anywhere if you don't stand up for yourself. That's the philosophy of the world. And yet here we have a meek man chosen by God to be Israel's leader. Blessed are the meek. The Lord will bless that man or that woman who is meek. Meekness in a believer will not go unnoticed by the Lord. And the Lord will bless the meek. We are blessed already, because we're citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We've seen the meaning and the marks of meekness with regard to its beauty. We also have the master and meekness. If Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth, then Christ was meek above all the men upon in heaven and on earth. no one is as meek as Christ. We can state that categorically. No one. Meek was Moses was a meek man above all the men of the earth, but Christ was the meekest of all men. If we want to see the perfect example of true meekness, we have only to look to Jesus Christ. In appealing to those who labor and are heavy laden, the Lord Jesus said, "Come unto me, for I am meek and lowly of heart." The Lord said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, for I am meek and lowly of heart." No man or woman or boy or girl should be afraid to come to Christ. Come to one who is meek and lowly of heart. They know or should know that the Lord will treat them with great meekness. He's lowly of heart. He will not treat them roughly. And they can come to the Lord carrying their burdens, distressed with their problems, weighed down with their cares. The Lord says, "Come, because I am meek and lowly of heart." Consider also that while he is the meek Savior, he's also the meek Sovereign. Not too many rulers of this world would be called meek. You know how they're always promoting themselves, especially in the political world. But Jesus Christ is King. And yet Jesus Christ, as King of kings and Lord of lords, is meek. He's the meek Savior, and praise his name, he's the meek Sovereign. For we read in Matthew 21, the Lord has descended the Mount of Olives and he's coming into Jerusalem. And we are told in verse 4, Matthew 21, "All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee," listen, "meek, sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass." The word that was fulfilled was the word of Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. Our king came into Jerusalem meek. He's the meek Sovereign. He didn't ride into Jerusalem on a glorious stallion. He wasn't sitting in a chariot of gold. And those royal occasions, you see the Queen of England riding in a golden carriage, been pulled through the streets of London by beautiful horses. She's the Queen after all, but Jesus Christ is the King. But the difference is Jesus Christ is a meek Sovereign. While he sojourned upon earth, sitting in a golden carriage drawn by glorious, well-groomed horses, would have looked completely out of place. Meek. And he rode into Jerusalem, yes, in triumph, but riding on a poor, humble beast of burden. That's meekness. Paul had lovely words about Christ. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 1. When appealing to the Corinthians, he did so by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. What a beautiful picture. I appeal to you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. Don't we want to be like him? Don't we want to know what it is to be meek? To display the beauty of meekness. We have the beauty of meekness, then we have the blessing of meekness. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You can see from the words of the Savior that blessing is associated with being meek. Since the Lord Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek," then that means it's true. It's true. The Lord says, "Blessed are the meek," and the meek are blessed. Because the Lord has said so. And there is ample proof that the meek indeed are blessed. 1 Peter 3 verse 4, the apostle said, "A meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." So we see that the Lord again takes note of meekness in his people. For he says again, "A meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." The Lord looks upon a Christian with a meek spirit, or that spirit of meekness, as being very valuable. It's of great price. And regarding blessing of meekness, we notice first of all an increase for the meek. Now, when we think of increase, we may think of an increase of goods or an increase of possessions or an increase of riches, but the Word of God was not speaking about any such earthly thing. But the Word of God does speak about those who are meek and those who enjoy increase. Over in Isaiah 29. Isaiah 29, and there we read in verse 19. "The meek also shall increase." There it is. "The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord." There's their increase. "The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel." Shall increase their joy. The word increase, as you might understand, and know, means to add to their joy in the Lord. The joy in the Lord. Don't we joy in the Lord? There are those times when, of course, we should joy in the Lord far, far more. We think of all that he has done for us, all the prayers he has answered, just knowing his presence, the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. But if we are meek, the prophet says, our joy in the Lord shall increase, because there will be nothing to stand between us and the joy of the Lord. Because, as we've already seen, for the man of meekness, the meek man, there's no pride, there's no selfishness to get in the way. There's no personal ambition. It's easy to get along with, mild-mannered. And the Lord says, blessed are the meek, because they will increase their joy in the Lord. Isn't that what we want? Do not pray, Lord, give me more joy. I need more joy. You've heard the saying, I'm sure. Someone doesn't seem to have a great deal of joy of the Lord in their heart. And you'd say of that person, oh, you would think all belonging to them was dead. No sign of joy or happiness in the Lord. Yes, we all have burdens, but we're talking about the joy of the Lord. And what did Nehemiah say? Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So that means if our joy is increased, then our strength is increased. The more joy we have, the more spiritual strength we will have. No wonder the Lord Jesus said, blessed are the meek. Because we'll have more joy. Psalm 35, verse 9. The psalmist said, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. And if the Christian cannot find joy in the Lord's salvation, there's something wrong. So say all of our problems, our cares, and our burdens tend to weigh us down at times. But we can still rejoice in our salvation. We can say, well, I'm saved. My sins are all forgiven. I'm on my way to heaven. And the children of the Lord have a right to shout and sing, for their way is growing bright and our souls are on the wing. We're going by and by to the palace of the King. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We can always rejoice in our salvation. We have not only the increase of the meek, increase in joy in the Lord, but there is also the instructing of the meek. The person with the spirit of meekness is a person who will be easily instructed and taught in the things of God. Remember? Meek means mild. Easy to get along with. When the word of God goes forth and the Lord speaks to us about a certain matter in our lives, well, if we are meek, we'll be easy to get along with. We'll go along with whatever the Lord has to say to us. We'll not fight with him. We'll not rebel against him. Will not turn a deaf ear to what he is saying. Blessed are the meek. And the meek will increase their joy in the Lord, and the meek will be easily taught. We know that from Psalm 25 and verse 9. Psalm 25 verse 9 says, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his ways. The meek will he guide in judgment. Because you see, the Lord knows that the meek are easily taught. The teacher rejoices when she has a student who will sit there and take everything in that she or he teaches them. They're easily taught. And every teacher knows there are students who will not be easily taught. They'll get their back up against everything they're taught. And they'll have excuses for not being taught or guided. But regarding the Christian who's meek, the Lord says the meek will, or the Bible says the meek will he guide. The meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he teach his way. And surely that's what we want. We want to know the guidance of the Lord. We want to be taught. We want to be taught. We don't want to be those Christians who are tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, that are easily led astray. We want to be grounded in the Word, well grounded in the book, and we'll say, Lord, come and teach me. Be my teacher. I am meek. I will endeavor to be meek. I will endeavor to accept all thy teaching. James tells us how we are to receive the Lord's teaching. James 1, verse 21. He says, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Receive with meekness. It's a thought again. No rebelling, no getting our back up, but receiving with meekness. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I'm here to be taught. Teach me and guide me. We then have the inheritance of the meek. The dear Savior said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The blessing is that we are inheritors of so much, as well as inheriting the earth. You know, we are rich people. We have an inheritance. We have inherited so many things from the hand of the Lord. Matthew 19, verse 29, we've inherited everlasting life. Can't buy that with silver and gold. It's an inheritance. Matthew 25, verse 34, then shall the king say, that is, in the day of judgment, when all shall stand before God, the Lord will say to those on his right hand side, unto the sheep, then shall the king say, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We're inheritors of a kingdom. A heavenly kingdom. We're inheritors of everlasting life. We're heirs with God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are rich people today. I've been tempted, maybe I will do sometime, when you get these telemarketers on, and they want to help you with your mortgage, and they're going to give you all kinds of money, and I'm tempted to say, well, listen, I'm actually a millionaire. In fact, I'm richer than a millionaire, so I don't need your financial assistance. Because that's what I am. That's what you are. You're richer than a millionaire. We have inherited a kingdom. Think of that. A kingdom. We have our homes, we have our houses, and we have our little plot of ground. And we say, that's mine. Bought and paid for. 70 feet by 40 feet, whatever it may be. But think of what the Lord has given to us. What we have inherited. Not just a little plot of ground, we have inherited a kingdom. That's been prepared for us before the foundation of the world. And with this I'll close. You have the bounty of the meek. The Lord said that the meek are blessed, for they shall inherit the earth. Here we are again. We have inherited a kingdom, the kingdom of God, and we're inheritors of the earth. How many in this world own the earth? Well, we can say we do. This earth is ours. We've inherited. You know, whenever the Lord spoke those words in that third beatitude, you would think maybe it was some new teaching, but no. You see, whenever the Lord preached his sermons, they were always based on Scripture. And we read in Psalm 37 and verse 11, but the meek shall inherit the earth. Same words. And here they are found in the Old Testament in Psalm 37 and verse 11. The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. There's a day coming when we will enjoy peace on the earth. If you look at verse 9 of the same psalm, verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. There's it again. And verse 22 of the same psalm, for such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth. We'll inherit the earth. That's the Lord's pledge. You notice in all the Beatitudes, there's a pledge attached to each one of them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs, there's the pledge, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. You can go through them all, but you can see it for yourself. It's a pledge to us. Lord makes a pledge. We there read about all the things that the Lord will give us. And in the second, or the third rather, beatitude, the Lord says we'll inherit the earth. It's the pledge, and there's the place. In Psalm 24 and verse 1, you read there the wonderful words of the psalmist about the Lord. Psalm 24 and verse 1. Listen, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. The earth is the Lord's. We belong to the Lord. If the earth is the Lord's, then the earth is ours too. And all that's in the world. All the silver and the gold, it's all ours. Because we have inherited it. I close with this verse. In this Psalm 50. In Psalm 50. We'll read there in verse 8. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. And if it's the Lord's, then it's ours. Because we're children of the King. King Jesus is our King. And what he owns, we own. What he has, we have. We're inheritors of the kingdom of heaven, and the blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Shows you how rich we are. And the Lord tells us in Revelation 21 that he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth have passed away, and we'll inherit the earth. We've inherited the kingdom of heaven. We'll inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek. Does not show us how blessed we are. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let us pray. O Lord our God and eternal Father, we rejoice in thy holy word. We rejoice in the Beatitudes. We rejoice that the blessings and the Beatitudes are ours. Blessed are the meek. Lord, surely it's something we struggle with betimes. Being meek. Being like the Savior who was meek and lowly of heart. O Lord, work in us by thy Holy Spirit, that we also will be meek and lowly of heart, and will know the blessings of the meek. Lord, write this word upon our hearts tonight. Be with us now as we part the one from the other. We thank thee, Lord, for this Sabbath day. It's been good to have been in the Lord's house. Now, Lord, go before us as we make our way home. Again, we remember the sick, each one of them. Touch them, Lord, by thy healing power. Now, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away.